We're improvising the 10 minutes that we're going to wait, so somebody's offering a song. What's your name, though?
Celia.
Celia.
I think it's better to stand up and be simple.
What? Maybe. Actually, I want to settle us, because I would like to bring you close in for what I'm going to offer.
Okay.
So can we receive the song close in, or is it a... Okay.
Do we need to film this?
No.
It's really easy, so I will sing once, and then when you feel it, come with me.
Okay.
Bella mama, bella mama,
bella mama, bella mama.
Please find a chair and join us.
Bella mama, 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 bella mama.
Last time.
Bella mama, bella mama, eh. Bella mama, bella mama, eh. Bella mama, bella mama, bella mama, bella mama, bella mama, bella mama, eh.
Oh, one more time. They're coming. We're calling them in.
Bella mama, eh. Bella mama, bella mama, eh.
Here.
Bella mama, bella mama, bella mama, bella mama, bella mama, bella mama, eh.
We called them in.
Yeah.
Wonderful. There are no more chairs in the back. Yeah. Oh, maybe sit on the floor, those who feel comfortable, and then we can leave chairs for those who are standing in the back. Perfect. Thank you. Come in. There's a chair here and here and there. Oh my goodness. Woo! To begin, you know? What an honor. Yes. It is the cosmic joke, isn't it? Is the topic that no one is talking about, but everyone shows up to see what we're... The shadow. If I speak at this volume, can you guys hear me in the back?
Perfect. Yeah.
All right.
Who wants the last chair?
You like a wrestler.
We have one more here.
And if you guys are comfortable sitting on the floor, there's also room here. We'll get cozy and intimate.
Oh my God.
All right. Here we go. So imagine blue pressed pleated uniform skirt, white socks, black loafers. Hair pulled back tidy in a ponytail with a red ribbon that my mother chose this morning when she did my hair. This is an only girls Catholic school in Venezuela. And it's early in the morning, and I'm going to the end of the sixth grade line where my best friends usually wait for me. But this particular morning, none of my friends talking to me. And I'm thinking, there must be a mistake. But the place where I usually stand is filled by a wall of silence that reads exiled on their backs. I touch their shoulders, anxious, and I don't understand. Hey, Beatriz, Maria Elisa. And sometimes they glance at me sideways. But nothing. The wall resumes, cold shoulders and brutal silence. They didn't talk to me for a whole year. And the other girls would pity me. Oh, poor Maria. And I would actually feel angry and resentful because I did not want their pity. I wanted to know why. Why were they not talking to me? And why couldn't we talk about it? But as life has it, a year later, one of them came to talk to me. Oh, casually, like nothing happened. And I'm like, well, hold on a second. Why, right? And she says in her teenager voice, "Oh, it sounds silly now, but you were just taking all the best boys and leaving us the worst." Sound familiar? And you must be thinking now, "Oh, poor Maria. Women can be so mean to each other." And I used to think this for 30 years. They were the bitches, right? But the truth is, of course I wanted all the boys. Right? So this is how I was introduced to the feminine shadow. These hidden dynamics I use to get all the best boys. These hidden dynamics that women, that we use to negotiate power in relationships, that to compare with each other, to compete with each other. But in truth, it's dissatisfied women expressing it nicely or indifferently. Because what we really feel, what we know, is unacceptable to the current culture. And maybe you know her as the nagging wife, right? Or the manipulative mother. Mm-hmm. Or the false friend. Hi. Or that saucy woman with an eye to your hubby. The Dalai Lama says the world can be saved by the Western woman. And I say, I don't think so. But yes, because dissatisfaction is our divine gift. It is not the Western woman's weapon. It is our gift. It is not a curse. It is not a weapon to beat other people with. It is our superpower. It is a force to create great things with. Maybe even save the world. But what's in shadow is a misperception that it can be satisfied. See, I worked as a fashion model for 25 years. I had all the attention in the world, literally. By 19, I had billboards all over Venezuela advertising rum as the beautiful babe. At 20, I would shop in New York and Paris. And I didn't even care looking at price tags. I just bought whatever I wanted. Who wouldn't be satisfied with that? I was beautiful, great body, that claimed cover in the magazines all over the world. I met Michael Jackson at a film festival. I even had dinner with Michael Jordan, though he did confuse me as a journalist because I was trying to have a meaningful conversation with the man. But who wouldn't be satisfied with that, wouldn't you? You know, I'm just saying. But I traveled the world. Weekends in London, jobs in the Maldives. I even enjoyed Dubai after they called the cops on me because I was changing inside a bus with blocked windows. These men never saw me undressed. They only saw me fully dressed. But the idea of a woman inside the bus changing was enough of an insult to their own culture. But who wouldn't be satisfied with that? I had everything. Well, no, 3 more inches would have been awesome. But with all of that, it was still not enough. So what did I do? I moved to Colorado, lived in the mountains, had the husband that bought me all the gear that I needed to do all the mountaineering things that I wanted to do, worked a few jobs as a model, and commune with nature the rest of the time. Seriously, who wouldn't be satisfied with that? But I wasn't. So I dedicated my life to spirituality, to adult development. Certified as an integral coach and as an integral facilitator. Hone the capacity to bring forward self as an instrument. Ordained as a nun. Dedicating over 10 years of study and practice. Taking refuge in silence, finding devotion in stillness. seeing the extraordinary in the most ordinary moments, and the infinite in the immediate. And guess what? It's still here! All our efforts, cosmetics, smarts, emotional, relational, career, even spiritual, grasped as a prescription to end your dissatisfaction. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I believe that as women, our directive is to create, not to nag and criticize and become this caricature of the dissatisfied woman. You were born insatiable. You are the midwives to life. So in this moment, can we live with that paradox? Social media and advertisement, even adult development and spirituality as advertised, say, these are the things that will satisfy you. But you know what? This is it. You are already. And dissatisfaction is part of your wholeness. Who you are as a woman must include all of you. And dissatisfaction is not that thing that you put away. It's that thing you claim. So to turn dissatisfaction from a weapon into a gift is a journey of transformation that requires you to shift your perspective, shift your attitude, and shift your practice. So first, to shift your perspective is to dismantle the belief that it can be satisfied. So again, can we, in this room together, be with this paradox that we are dissatisfied, but it's okay? And this paradox, then there's a way that by being with it, it naturally changes our attitude. So I come to you with this feminine shadow conversation because I don't see it enough happening in the world. So I'm hungry for it, right? But I don't pretend that it's going to satisfy my hunger. I use this fire to ignite this conversation and hope that it continues with you. So after I shift my perspective, can you see how naturally my attitude just changes when I see that we're all in the same boat? And Rumi says this, when you haven't been fed, become bread. And I like to think of mercy, because mercy has a way of moving us when we realize that everyone is hungry. And I'm not talking about sympathy, seeing the pain in other, or even empathy, feeling the pain of other. I'm talking about radical compassion, letting your heart break, even though there's nothing you can do about your own dissatisfaction and that of others, and yet meet it again and again and again. So you shift your perspective, you shift your attitude. Imagine if we did this as a practice and then became so intimate and familiar with it. Who would you need to become to not look away? I watched myself hide my dissatisfaction with niceness? Or the way that we look at each other, hiding our more dissatisfied selves with courteous smiles? But what if we looked at each other with knowing smiles of this big secret, that we are insatiable? What if we even dared to start this conversation? I've been hungry for this conversation since sixth grade, but from this place of acceptance of dissatisfaction and my insatiability, I am whole, and the possibilities are endless. I am not afraid of bringing my dissatisfaction into connection. But here, we are in a bit of a conundrum, because we've come here to this conference because there are things in the world that need change. And we come here with the impulse to change them. But the world doesn't need our help. The world needs our wholeness. So I invite you, when you're listening to our extraordinary speakers, or when you are in the workshops, or in the side conversations in the hall, see if you can notice, what's your flavor of dissatisfaction? And then instead of the perspective of leaning away, see if you can lean into it and become curious. And then extend that curiosity to the person in front of you and see if you can see it in their eyes as well. And let that shift your attitude, softening your heart and with a mercy that can feed all of us. And then please make this your practice until you become so intimate and familiar with it that you'll be moved to create the things that you love. You are born insatiable, and this doesn't need to become the dissatisfaction that bends and twists us to the tune of our popular culture. As women, we don't need to let our dissatisfaction leak sideways like a sixth grader that doesn't understand her power or the effect she has on others. As women in leadership, we can turn our dissatisfaction into a true divine gift that not only can transform us, but can transform the world one person at a time. So this morning, already a woman came to me and said, this is for real. And she said to me, shit, Maria, I hate this. I hate feeling jealous, but, you know, you just do your thing. You come to this conference and you just take every man's attention.
You didn't get mine, sorry.
That's because we haven't met and I haven't. But now I see you. Now I do, for 20 minutes. But what was beautiful about this was that there, it was there. She came forward. She didn't exile me. She didn't ignore me. She said, hey, this is happening. And so we looked at each other. We said, well, so what now? And then that was the magical moment where we just realized, okay, so can the paradox exist? That both, like, we are jealous, or and I'm doing this, I do want the attention. But also, she said, can you teach me? So I don't know if I can teach it, but what I do want to invite, as you do go out, is invite the conversation. Notice what's happening, these tensions between women. And then just lean in, get close in. And then for the men, I really invite you to watch, you know, and be our witnesses and see these dynamics, because in some ways sometimes it's about you, you know, and our attention.
We're in the middle.
So anyway, I don't know if the Western woman can save the world, But I do know that as women in leadership, when we own our dissatisfaction, when we talk about it, when we bring this conversation in, we will start learning a new language and bringing into the light the things that we keep hidden in the shadows. Thank you so much.